Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. It's good to meet with you online once again today. We're going to do something a little bit different. Since we can't do our normal greeting time, we want to start out, grab your cell phones, grab your computers, whatever you have. Let's do something a little bit different this morning. For our greeting time, right now, why don't you email or instant message or text somebody in our congregation and just say, hello, how are you doing? I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. I miss you. And if you can't have time to do it right now, make a little note or something and do it right after the service. You can even make a phone call. Let's do this. Let's greet each other this morning help each other this morning to realize we still are one body. We are one group together. And if you receive a message, make sure you send someone a message back. And if you're really ambitious, maybe you want to send two or three people some messages. That would be great. So we're going to have the instruments play through a couple of times through His Name is Wonderful, and then we are going to let you have a chance to do this. So let's have some fun with this morning and greet one another in the Lord. Okay, thank you for doing that. And if you didn't have time to complete it, you can just finish that after the service. It'll give us a great time to encourage one another in small ways right now. Let's just do this. Let's quiet our hearts this morning as we get ready to go into our worship time. Let's just bow our heads for a moment, and I'm gonna pray here and ask God to quiet our hearts and lead us to worship Him this morning. Father, we just thank you for this time. We just thank you that even though we can't be together today again, we can still be together through you. I just pray that you would bless this worship time that's coming up here. Encourage each member of this church, each one who attends here, and even those who are just listening. Lift us up today, God. We need your strength. We need your help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the midst of difficulties and struggles of life, do you forget the greatness of God? In the midst of the good times and the prosperity that we face sometimes, do you forget God? As finite human beings, it's easy for us to forget Him, whether the times are good or bad. So this morning, I want to take some time. Let's lift our eyes today above this world. Let's lift our eyes today above the things of this world and be reminded this morning how great and wonderful our God is. This morning, we want to take a few minutes and stand in awe of our great God. Let's begin with some verses in Psalm 33, 8 through 9. It says this, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Our God is awesome and wonderful. Let's begin this morning by singing and praising our great Savior Jesus. His name is wonderful. Hymn 24 in our hymnals, if you have that. His name is wonderful. Let's sing this song this morning.
His name is wonderful.
we want to listen to some verses this morning that don't use the term awe or amazing, but they leave us in awe of our great God, from Romans chapter 8.
Reading from Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Remember the unchanging, unfailing, unending love of God. Remember the amazing redemption that was accomplished in the death and resurrection of Jesus for us. We're going to sing "And Can It Be," hymn 134, "And Can It Be."
Smile.
From Psalm 66, let's listen to some more words about the greatness of our God.
Psalm 66, verse 3 through 5. Say to God, how awesome are your works! Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praise to you. They shall sing praise to your name.
As we see the greatness and awesome of our God, let's submit ourselves today and worship Him not just with our lips, but with our lives. We're going to sing a chorus here that's been a while since we've sung here called I Stand in Awe.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. Please join me. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Let's try that again. Please join me. Deuteronomy 10:17 says this, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe." Let's close our worship time this morning singing How Great Thou Art, hymn 38. This morning, this week, keep your heads up and keep looking toward our great God. Thank you.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast.
When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast.
I could never keep my hope through life's fearful path.
For my love is often cold, He must hold me fast.
He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
Those He saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight, He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost, His promises shall last. Bought by Him at such a cost, He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
he bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, he will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight, when he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast.
Thank you, Brother Tim, for leading us in worship this morning. Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. Once again, it's a great blessing to meet together for worship. And our prayer is that each and every one of us looks to God for strength, for protection, for care, for comfort during this very different time in our world and in the life of our church. And my prayer right now is that God opens our eyes and that we see wondrous things from His Word. So let's continue now. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now let's bow our heads right now and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the great privilege of worship. Thank you that we now can open up your word and we can continue to worship today. Father, our prayer is always this, that we need your help. So Father, help us right now to acknowledge our weakness and to look to you for strength, to look to you for the one who will give us understanding and will help us as we study your word this morning. Father, help us to learn today as Jesus speaks to this man named Nicodemus, and help us to be reminded that he speaks to us today. And God, use this truth, change our lives. And God, for your glory, we pray that if anyone hears these words today and has not been born again, that today would be the day of their new birth. To you be glory and honor and praise. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10 is a very familiar passage. It speaks about the new birth. It speaks about being born again or born from above. So look with me now at John chapter 3, verse 3. John 3, verse 3. Jesus says this. He says, most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, let's not forget who Jesus is speaking to here. Jesus is speaking directly to the Jewish religious leader Nicodemus in this passage. But even as we prayed, let's remember that Jesus is also speaking to us today. Now, what that means is that Nicodemus is not a special case. Nicodemus is not unique. Just like Nicodemus, you and I must also be born again, or we will not see the kingdom of God. Now, folks, that means very plainly that we will not be saved. We will not be a part of God's family. We will not go to heaven. We will be separated from God for eternity in a place called hell. And so this message then is for every one of us. And folks, this is not marginal. This is crucial. This is central to eternity. Our eternal destiny hangs in the balance when we talk about the new birth. And that's why that we say that this passage is very important. And Faith Baptist Church, this is not the first time we've looked at this passage and we've looked at the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. And even when we consider Jesus this morning, This is a primary teaching. This is his primary purpose in coming. And this is the primary point that he makes with Nicodemus and with us. Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what we see in this passage before us is how Jesus brings Nicodemus to this new birth. Now, this goes back to our proposition in this series of sermons that God is always working to move his people to trust him. And God is working in the life of Nicodemus to bring him to salvation. The question that we need to ask from the text is very simple. What happens in the new birth? What takes place when one is born again? How does God work in Nicodemus? And how does God work in us to give us this new birth? Now let's answer these questions with three statements that are supported by our text this morning. Here are those statements. First of all, the new birth is new life. Second, the new birth is supernatural. And third, the new birth is the creation of a new human nature. Now let's work our way through the passage. Let's look at these statements and let's see how Jesus speaks to Nicodemus about the new birth. Now notice first that Jesus shares with Nicodemus that the new birth is new life. What happens in the new birth is not getting a new religion, it's getting new life. Let's look at the first three verses, John chapter 3. John writes and he says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Apostle John makes sure that we know that Nicodemus is a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. And folks, I think we know that the Pharisees were the most religious of all of the Jewish groups. They were the experts in the scriptures. They were the moral examples in their community. And so Nicodemus is a religious leader. He's an expert in religious things. He's a moral example. And Jesus says to him very, very plainly, verse 3, most assuredly, I say to you. Now understand this. I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then even more direct, and to the point, Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 7, do not marvel or do not be surprised that I say to you, you must be born again. So one of Jesus' main points as he speaks to Nicodemus is this. All of Nicodemus's religion, all of his intense and extended study and discipline and law-keeping and morality cannot replace the need for the new birth. The truth is, these things should actually make more obvious the need for the new birth. So what Nicodemus needs and what you and I need is not more religion, but spiritual life. Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to think about this morning, because the whole point of referring to the new birth is that birth is connected with a new life. So Jesus is talking here about life. He's talking about spiritual life. Now, in one sense, as we said last week in our study, Nicodemus is alive. He's breathing. He's thinking. He's feeling. He's acting. He's moving. He's human. He's created in God's image. So there is, in one sense, a physical sense, that Nicodemus is alive. And we too are alive in this same sense. But it seems clear that Jesus also thinks that Nicodemus is dead. There's no spiritual life in Nicodemus. Now, folks, think about that just for a moment, because here's a religious man. Here's a man who's an expert in the Scriptures. Here's a man who lives a moral life, who's a model in his community, and yet Jesus says he must be born again. In other words, Jesus is saying to him, he doesn't have this spiritual life. Spiritually, he's unborn, and he needs life. Not just religious activity, not religious zeal, not religious training, not religious discipline. He has an abundance of that, but Jesus sees him as dead, spiritually dead. And folks, there are many people who were alive physically, but dead spiritually. And this is why, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born or made alive spiritually, he cannot see God or God's kingdom. Now think about it for a moment. The dead can't see. The dead cannot see God or God's kingdom as something that is desirable and needed. To the spiritually dead, it's foolish. It's mythical. It's boring. It makes no sense. You see, the spiritually dead don't know that they're dead. And that's why when you speak to a lost person or one who does not believe, it's like you're speaking to a blind person or a dead person. They don't understand. They can't comprehend these spiritual things. Nicodemus' response shows it. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, Nicodemus surely knows this, but yet he can't grasp the words of Jesus. He can't understand the words of Jesus here. And folks, you'll see the same thing when you share spiritual truth with the spiritually dead. They can't grasp it. They can't understand it. They can't comprehend it. And that's why they call it foolish or ignorant or outdated. You see, folks, Nicodemus did not need religion. He had plenty of religion. Nicodemus needed life, spiritual life. And the new birth brings that spiritual life. And so the important question is today, is this, do you have religion or do you have spiritual life? Another way to ask it is this, are you trusting in your church? Are you trusting in your creed? Are you trusting in your confession? Are you trusting in your conduct for salvation? You see, folks, these things may bring morality and much religious activity, but they will not bring spiritual life. Here's another way to ask it. Are you trusting in God through the crucified and risen Son of God, Jesus Christ, as the only way of salvation? So what happens in the new birth? We get new life, not religion. Now let's consider the second statement, a second truth in this passage. The new birth is supernatural. Now I'd like to go in two directions with this truth. First of all, what happens in the new birth is not simply affirming the supernatural in Jesus, but it's receiving and experiencing the supernatural in yourself. Look at verse 2. John chapter 3, verse 2. Nicodemus says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Now notice that Nicodemus sees Jesus as a man whom God is working in. A genuine working of God is taking place in this man named Jesus. And Nicodemus admits that Jesus is from God, does the work of God. And notice now that after Nicodemus says that Jesus doesn't respond to Nicodemus by saying, "Well, you're right, Nicodemus. I wish that everyone in Palestine would see me as you see me." But instead, Jesus responds and he says, "You must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of God." Now, what does this mean about the new birth? Well, it means that we can acknowledge that Jesus is from God, and we can acknowledge that Jesus did and does great and mighty things. We can admit that God is with Jesus, and we can even acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, but none of these admissions or none of these affirmations will save us. You see, folks, our old fallen sin nature will say yes to all of these things. Think about it. The devil and his fallen angels know and affirm that Jesus is the Son of God sent by God. So recognizing and admitting the supernatural in Jesus is not the key to the kingdom of God. Jesus says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what matters is not merely affirming the supernatural in Jesus, but receiving and experiencing the supernatural in yourself. Now that brings us then to a second point in this truth. The new birth is supernatural. It's not natural. It can't be accounted by those things which are already found in the world. Look at verse 6. Here's how Jesus says it. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, the flesh is what we are naturally. The Spirit of God is a supernatural person who brings about the new birth. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so this new birth is of the Spirit. It is above and beyond nature. It is spiritual. It is supernatural. It's from above. Now, what does all this have to do with Jesus? Look at verse 13. John chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus gives the answer. He says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who was in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look at this now, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Folks, the spiritual life that the Spirit of God gives, he gives only in connection with Jesus. And there is no life, no spiritual, eternal life apart from this connection with Jesus through faith. So let's be crystal clear here. The key to your relationship with your Creator, with God, is not a religion. It's a person. And it's not just any person, but it's the person that we know historically and biblically as Jesus Christ. And the ancient, established, confirmed record of Jesus Christ that we call the Bible tells us plainly that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man. He died to pay the penalty of your sin, of your breaking God's law. He died to take the judgment of God that you deserved upon himself. He was raised from the dead to prove that everything that he said was true, that who he proclaimed to be, he was indeed, and that anyone who repents of their unbelief and places their faith in Jesus Christ, the God-man, receives forgiveness of sins and eternal life. This is the work of God in us, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Brothers and sisters, the new birth is supernatural, and it's directly connected with Jesus Christ. There is no new birth apart from Jesus. Now, there's a third truth. The new birth is the creation of a new human nature. Now, this new birth, this being born again, as Jesus says here, creates within us a new human nature. Now, it's a nature that's really you. It's a part of you. It's new. It's being formed by the Spirit of God. Now, why would I say this? Look at verse 5. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now this was Jesus' answer in response to Nicodemus saying, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So the question then that's before us in the words of Jesus then is this, well, what does Jesus mean by water and spirit? Now, whatever Jesus means, being born of water and spirit is the same thing as being born again. Look at verse 3. He says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5, he says it another way. He says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is talking about the same thing. He says it in a different way, but he's talking about this new birth. Now, there are many groups who believe that this is a reference to water baptism. In other words, this is how the Spirit unites us to Christ. And folks, millions of people have been taught that their infant baptism or their adult baptism causes them to be born again. And it's that baptism that connects them with God through Jesus. Let me be as clear as I possibly can be. This is not true. The Bible as a whole does not support this. So the question is, what does Jesus mean? What's he talking about here? Let me give you several reasons why water here in John chapter 3, verse 5 is not Christian baptism. I won't go into a lot of detail. I'll give you the reasons. We'll leave the detail for another study. First of all, there is no mention of baptism in this passage. I mean, if it is essential, it seems strange that Jesus says nothing about it. If water baptism were essential, then it would surely be mentioned with faith, but it's not. Number two, Christian baptism did not even exist at this time. I mean, these events that we read about here in John chapter 3, these events took place before the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. Jesus had not yet given the command to his disciples to baptize. And yet many people are adding here something that did not even exist at this time. And then number three, baptism does not fit with Jesus' response to Nicodemus. Look at his response in verse 10. John chapter 3, verse 10. Jesus says to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" In other words, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you should understand these things. You're a teacher, you're an expert in the Scriptures, and you should know this. And yet, folks, how could Nicodemus understand something that did not exist? Jesus' words make sense only if he's referring to something previous, something that Nicodemus should have known from the law or from the Old Testament. Now that begs the question, what is that something in the Old Testament that Nicodemus should have known? Hold your place in John chapter 3 and go back to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. So we go back to Ezekiel chapter 36 and we look at some promises that God made to Israel, and we know these promises as the new covenant. So Ezekiel is prophesying what God will do for his people when he brings them back from exile in Babylon. Now the implications are much larger than Israel, because Jesus himself would later connect these promises of this new covenant by his blood to everyone who would trust in him. Now look at Ezekiel chapter 36, and let's begin with verse 24. This is God speaking, and notice what he says. "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. And then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. And then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So here, folks, then, is familiar Old Testament teaching that a teacher of Israel should have known. To his people, God says, first of all, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all of your uncleanness. When you look at the word that God speaks there, this, I believe, is what Jesus meant by water. He's talking about a spiritual cleansing. And when Jesus uses that word water, it's a picture of this spiritual cleansing. If you go back to what Ezekiel writes and what God says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. And then God describes it. He says, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. You see, it is a spiritual cleansing. And then also God says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. You see, this is what Jesus is talking about, this new life. We put this together and we see that the ones who will enter the kingdom are those who have a newness, and it involves a cleansing of the old and a creation of the new. And so water and spirit refer to two aspects of our newness when we are born again. And what are the aspects of that newness? First of all, there has to be a cleansing. That's what Jesus was talking about with this word water. This involves forgiveness. This involves guilt. Cleansing with water is a picture of the forgiveness and the washing away of guilt. But this cleansing is not enough. It's only part of it. Second, there needs to be a newness. There needs to be a transformation. And this involves a new life and new thinking and new values. You see, folks, this is that new nature that God gives us at the new birth. And this is why Ezekiel talks about a new heart and a new spirit. Before being born again, we were spiritually dead. And Ezekiel calls it a heart of stone. And it could respond to many things, but not spiritual things. It was dead. It was a lifeless stone to the things of Jesus and the glory of God and a life of holiness. And this has to change. There must be a new birth. And so God puts in, the way that Ezekiel states it, He puts in a heart of flesh. Not flesh as in human flesh, but living and responsive and feeling a new spiritual life. Folks, in the new birth, our dead, stony, unresponsive, hard heart toward God and Christ is replaced by a heart that is living and feeling and responding to the glory and the grace and the worth of God in Jesus Christ. This, then, is a new human nature. A new human nature that is given to us by God. And God, through the Holy Spirit, gives this new supernatural spiritual life, and the Holy Spirit Himself is given to us, and He works and He molds us and He shapes us into the very image of God in Christ Jesus. And by the way, folks, one of the clear evidences that you've been born again or that you have this living, responsive, spiritual life is your response to the things of God. I mean, if a person says, well, I've been born again, but they never think and they never move and they never act and they never do and they never dwell and they never respond to God and Jesus in daily life, then frankly, they're fooling themselves. You see, this new life and this new nature that God gives us, this new heart that He gives us, moves us toward God and orients us toward God and His Son, Jesus Christ. So being born again means that we have this living, responsive, spiritual life through the Holy Spirit toward God and Jesus. The Apostle Paul described it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." When we are born again, we are cleansed, and then we are given a new nature that is oriented by the Holy Spirit toward God. That's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about water and the Spirit. Now let's step back and let's consider the passage. What happens in the new birth? The Holy Spirit supernaturally gives us new spiritual life by connecting us with Jesus through faith. And it's then that there is a cleansing for our sins and the giving of a new heart or a new nature that is responsive to God and moves toward Jesus in thinking and action and is being transformed by the Holy Spirit to love God and to do His will. Brothers and sisters, you who are listening today, this was the great need of Nicodemus. Now think about it. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus knew his Bible. Nicodemus was a moral man. He was a good man. He was a leader in his community. And yet Jesus looked at him and He said, "Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." This was the great need of Nicodemus. And this is the great need of every person who hears me today. So what happens in the new birth? We must understand the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. And we put these truths together. The new birth is new life. It's spiritual life. The new birth is supernatural. It comes from the Spirit of God. And the new birth is the creation of a new human nature. It creates within us a human nature that responds to God and moves toward Jesus. And the way that we experience this cleansing and this new life is through faith in Jesus Christ. This is the answer for Nicodemus, and this is the answer for us. Have you been born again? Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for this passage of Scripture that is before us. And God, it's important we acknowledge that this morning. There may be many people who hear my voice today, Father, who have looked at this passage with us, and they are depending upon their religion. They're depending upon their morality. They're depending upon their thoughts of being a good person to take them to the kingdom of God, to Your presence. And yet, Father, the words of Jesus are so clear. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Thank You for the clarity of the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. And God, help us not to leave these words in the past, but God, help us by Your Spirit to apply these truths to our lives, to look at our lives this morning. And Father, my prayer is that if there's anyone listening who has not been born again, that today You, by Your grace, would begin to work in their hearts and to give them understanding and to give them light and help them to see that they must be born again. And Father, it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank You for Jesus, Thank you for this great salvation that he has given to us. And Father, help us as your people, those who are born again, help us to be thankful for the clearness of his words to Nicodemus. And God, help us to be clear when we share the truth with others. To you be glory and praise and honor. Work in our hearts as you see fit. We simply submit to you in gratitude and joy this morning for this new birth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Let's close this morning with Grace is Flowing, hymn 151 in our hymnals. Grace is Flowing.
Grace is flowing like a river from the Mount of Calvary. Look to Jesus Christ the Giver. He from sin can set you free. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been so blood. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. Heaven's fountain river floweth, all our need has been supplied. Taste his love, receive his mercy, no one yet has been denied. Grace is flowing like a river, millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. Through the blood of Christ forgiven, dry the tears from every face. Through his cross an heir of heaven, evermore a child of grace. Grace is flowing like a river, millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. Come to Jesus, weary sinner, Calvary's river flows today. All who plunge beneath that fountain wash their guilty sins away. Grace is flowing like a river, millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side.
Let's close with prayer this morning. Thank you, Father, that you have shown grace to us. Thank you that you have provided Jesus and provided that way to the new birth. Thank you for Jesus, his death, his resurrection for us. Thank you for that eternal life that you offer and that forgiveness of sins. Help us to go forward this week and live in those promises. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.